Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we didn't think it'd be this difficult to get a win on the board for our Braves, but finally we do. So, first win of the season. Congratulations, yeah! Go rest for 30 minutes. We'll see you.
Nothing's been easy. I mean, this between the Philly series, and if you watched yesterday and the walk-off, and then today, Will Smith gave up a run and did induce a double play to end the game, but... Man, it just thought they were going to break it wide open, Carl, in the top of the seventh. But the Braves do hang on to win 7-6. But yikes, man! Again, maybe you feeling the over under is a little bit optimistic because this division looks like, and that's the Nats without even all their best players too. By the way,
yeah, protocols. They got like 10 guys out, patchwork right now. But Will Smith induces a game ending double play, so Braves win. And at the end of the day, they had enough offense to win yesterday. Pitching failed, right? Because you start out, I think you had 4 solo home runs, if I remember correctly, yesterday to start the game. But with that said, first one's on the board. So take that deep breath, and now we can continue to move. Because, again, I'm not going to say they were pressing, but I do think there was a little bit of urgency to go ahead, and we got to get one now. Come on, you know, got swept with the Phillies. Okay, we lost one we probably should have won yesterday. We got a doubleheader today, so we'll keep you updated on what's going to happen a little bit later on throughout the course of the show, but Braves get one. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, 404-741-0929. Lots of guys chiming in on two things. Both are good. One is trusting Terry Fontenot and the Falcons. The other one is our beer. Guys saying, hey, I live here, I live there. Let us know where you are and what part of the city you're in, and we'll try to find out exactly where you can find the Hey Man Ale Watermelon Lime, guys, but... It's funny, Oconee's chiming in as well, but a lot of people talking about that when we put the List out there, Mike. Hey, I live here. Can I get it in coming? Can I get it here? Absolutely. So let us know where you're at, and we'll let you know where you can go.
No, I mean, and again, it's not like we're sitting here like, find our beer, dance, monkey boy, dance. You know what I mean? That's not the way I don't have it yet. I'm looking, I need on the south side. So hopefully they'll get it to us down here in Peachtree City and Noonan so we can all enjoy as well.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to talk to Connor Riley, 4 o'clock. Dogs continue spring practice. We'll get the latest there. Also talk about JT Daniels and a lot more at 4 during our dog report. And at 5:20 today, we're going to talk to Falcons' new offensive guard. His name's Josh Andrews. Again, trying to introduce you to all the new faces of our Falcons. We have a few, and we've had, Mike, I'm thinking, we've had pretty much everybody that's new on the squad on the show,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, everybody from Mike Davis everybody from our new linebackers to our new corners and safety, yeah, everybody. So now it's a chance to see if these guys, and this was what Fontenot, again, when you asked me, do I trust Fontenot, all I could go by is what he has been tasked doing when he came here from Arthur Blank. The mandate was, I presume, let's put a competitive team on the field and also either short-term or big-term or long-term, whatever the term is to get things turned around. But one of the things he did do at New Orleans was find good free agents, good personnel on a budget, which they had to operate under because, as you referred to last break, they're always in cap hell.
So, listen, we're talking about that, and I say it is a blind leap of faith, but you have to kind of do that.
Well, you got to trust. I guess you got to trust Arthur, although, look, yes. We all would say that Arthur trusted in Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff way too long, but this is now a clean – it's a clean sheet, and we'll go and we'll take it on a case-by-case, but I'm excited. I've there's nothing Fontenot has said so far that would make me shrug or go, what? You know?
No. And that's why, you know, we were talking about this because – you know, guys are like fearing for whatever reason. I guess because all this stuff is starting to get to people. You know, we're a few weeks away from the draft, and you're hearing all this stuff like, like we're going to trade out of four and be the 30th pick or something crazy. You know, it's not right. That's not going to happen. We're going to maximize this pick. We may ultimately stay there, but I do believe that Terry and Coach Art have a plan. And so, you know, that's why we're talking about trusting them. They're not going to screw this up. It's what they do after this that, to me, is way more important. And I know guys don't want to look at that, but we got six picks in this draft currently. We may add some. Mm-hmm. It's what they do after this. If you get Kyle Pitts, duh. Is he going to help the team? Duh. Yeah. But what are you doing after that to help this team? So I think this one, and I'm not going to say it's a home run, but from the guys we're talking about, Mike, all of them are good, right?
Right. Again, this is a no. That's why I said yesterday. It was funny because I was talking to a couple of guys today at the gym, and they were like, you know, who do you want? I said, like, on the radio, I said, I like A, B, C, or D. If it's multiple choice, I mean, I think there's good options depending on what you think. There's some guys who feel we'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to trade into the top five. But look, if you want to foreshadow for next year, if there's a team like Jacksonville who's just terrible and they can't get out of their own way, no, they're never going to come off the number one pick. But you saw what the 49ers were able to do. And, yes, ideally you don't want to give up more draft stock to have to do that. But they're still right now, I want to build this team up. I would prefer to build this team up via a quarterback in the later rounds and get the best squad I can get on the field right now. I like the trading back option right now. But if you told me on Friday it's Fields or Pitts, I can't be disappointed with that either because these guys, they might be the dynamic face of the franchise the next 10 years.
Absolutely. All right, guys, more on this coming up. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with Nike suspending their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson. Not canceling, right. Suspending. So Nike is basically putting this on hold to wait and see how things turn out and where this is going to go. But this begs another question, Mike, and that is, should the NFL place Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list? If you're not familiar, this is how things go down. They created this about, I guess, maybe almost 10 years ago, after all the things that were happening in the league, to basically, you get a paid leave of absence while you're dealing with these things, whatever they are. But again, this is not criminal, but they've done it with civil cases and all types of things. So now people are starting to ask this question. I don't know if the NFL is going to do that with Deshaun, mm-hmm. but this Nike news certainly is the latest part of this story.
Right. Now, DeAndre Baker was on it last year when everything broke about that story that didn't make a whole hell lot of sense. And eventually he was vindicated and gets on another team. The Giants, of course, cut him. But in this case, Deshaun Watson is such a gray area. He's trying to get out of Houston. Other teams might not want to touch him. I guess it was Florio. I saw the title that said same thing. Should the NFL, you know, slap the commissioner's exempt list on him? I mean, if you're going to do it, now's about the time if you want to look at previous cases. There is a criminal investigation, but Houston Police Department, as we said yesterday, Carl, isn't saying anything. And I know we're not trying to be flippant or be disrespectful to any victim out there, but anyone can say anything. You got to prove it in court. You know, despite what we saw yesterday in that lawyer's office, Busby, who's bringing these suits.
Yeah, and you know, that's a conversation I wish we could have that conversation, Mike, because speaking of gray areas.
Right. Well, I mean, look, you don't look misogynist. You don't look like, you know, you're anti-women, especially after what happened with Me Too and all that. But,
no.
But I mean, one thing, I think we all know this. There are predators like Harvey Weinstein. There are dirtbags out there. And there's also, unfortunately, if you want to be a hunted, there's also women that also will use powers to blackmail men. It's happened in Shakedown, guys. Sometimes athletes set themselves up for this. But I just think, you know, there is that to balance this out. And again, if he did it, he's gonna get got and he's going to be paying for it. If the criminal thing doesn't bear any fruit, then, you know, we can start to reevaluate if he should be on the exempt list.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I know, again, it's not criminal, but we've talked about this. Even in civil situations, they've had people on the exempt mm-hmm. list. Nike statement, we're deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We will continue to closely monitor the situation. They put out a statement. I was saying this to maybe it was Bo today, but we were talking about, you know, Nike standing by its athletes.
Right.
So, you know, even when like Tiger, you know, and again, infidelity is not breaking the law. Okay. It's not, you're not assaulting somebody,
right?
But they stood by him. I mean, they didn't go away. Nike stayed there. And, you know, you can think about all the other cases right. and situations, even the Kaepernick situation, Mike.
They put him under contract. He's on retainer.
So they stayed with him. So I don't think this means Deshaun Watson won't be a Nike guy when it's all said and done, depending on how this plays out. But they are chilling for
right.
the moment.
And again, I'll just real quick, because we've talked about this a lot the last 3 weeks. Again, I'm not in any way saying that he's guilty of anything that's been accused. I'm just saying there is a court of public opinion. And if he never did any of this, you know how people are. You know how the world is that we live in. I'd love to see him put this in the rearview as quickly as possible. And I just don't know how what the timeline on that is going to be, because we have to wait. This if the criminal investigations really get some traction, then you really got a whole other situation. Then you're right, Goodell will act. And then he's stuck in limbo in Houston. Because, I mean, who's going to touch him then?
Well, and now this...
as far as the trade, yeah.
Well, here's what's funny, right? It's not even funny, but you look at... Remember the Texans? Oh, we're not trading him. You think they should have traded him now? You know, you think back.
Right.
You didn't know... If you knew all this was going to be playing out, you would have moved him and been done with this.
Right.
But now they may be in a stickier situation of a guy that they can't move, Mike.
Who doesn't want to be there? And it's funny because you know how this went, and we saw this on social media. We had guys hitting us up. I mean, there's blogs written about it. The Texans set him up. Oh, really? I mean, like it's North Dallas 40, you know, when they were taping Mac Davis and Nick Nolte smoking weed
so they
could bring him in and so they have to pick up Nick Nolte's contract as the tight end. It's a great movie, great book, by the way. But, yeah, I think that's a bit crazy.
All right, let's talk about the Panthers. They're in our division. They traded for Sam Darnold. Their general manager, Scott Federer, excited, he says, they are to have Darnold.
Sam is a guy that, going back to when he was coming out of USC, he's a guy that I really liked, you know, liked the competitor, liked the toughness, the ability to move in the pocket. He can make big plays, you know, down the field with his arm. You know, all those things really stood out about him. I just think in this offense with Joe Brady, with Matt Rhule, the weapons that we have around him, that he can take that next step with us. And so just kind of looking overall, where we were at with the draft, the position we're in, I was really excited to add someone of Sam's caliber to our team.
So maybe, Carl, and I'm watching the Hemingway documentary, three-parter on PBS. Check it out if you love Hemingway. So I guess, like, just like the Hemingway quote, the Jets break everyone, Carl, and afterward, many of the former Jets are strong at the broken places. So maybe he gets a new a lease on life. A new coordinator with Brady and Matt Rhule as his coach. He's got the reconnection with Robbie Anderson, his former wide receiver with the Jets, McCaffrey et al. And maybe, you know, Adam Gase was just that bad.
Adam Gase is that bad. but I also think that, you know, all the things that his general manager now is talking about that he saw in Sam Darnold, I didn't see. I'm sorry.
I didn't see it. But again,
he'll have a chance to prove it.
Right.
Okay. But I didn't see all that.
He'd have to be Jim Plunkett when he went from the Patriots to the Raiders to validate this. Although, again, it's a 6, a 2, and a 4. So it's not like you gave everything up.
No. It's a reasonable cost for, again, what are you getting? You're getting a guy that's played in the league. You know he can play in the league. Can he play at a high level is the real question.
Right.
And they feel like with better coaching, he's going to be able to do that. So, and he might be able to. But you're not getting an unknown entity. And so, no, I think that the compensation package was fine. Let's hear Carlos Dunlap talk about Russell Wilson being in Seattle.
I did ask him if obviously he was going to be with us, because if I'm coming back, I'm coming back because I see him as my quarterback and the rest of the team. I want to pick up where we left off. And he told me that he's with us and he's here to stay. And he said, you know, let's go Hawks. And I'm not going to quote his every word, or these words are not his words verbatim, but these are my explanation of how I interpreted what he said.
Okay. So Russell told Dunlap before he signed, mm-hmm. I'm going to be here.
Right. Just a little ticked off, blew off some steam.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let people know how I feel.
And so they're back. They'll be back together. And so, listen, if I'm Carlos Dunlap, I want to know that too. I want to know you coming back? He's like, I'm about to sign this deal.
Right.
I need to know if I got a quarterback or not. So I'm with him on this. But next year, different story.
Right.
Next year's a different story.
I think
it's come to a head, Mike.
Right. I just, you know, but the thing is, as you get older, you're not going to be able to do the things that Patrick Mahomes does if you feel you can. And ironically, the stats didn't bear it out. There were more turnovers when they let him do some of the things in that offense that he wanted to do. By the way, Tom Brady, you see the comments on Good Morning America?
It was good. It was really good.
And it's funny because now the New England – read the Boston Herald. Like, everybody's going bananas. It's like Brady basically said it doesn't have to be the Patriot way. Like, so I don't even know what the color is on their sky right now. But we always said this. Belichick's, you know, system – maybe, again, I asked you this after the Super Bowl, only works when you got the GOAT under center for the better half of 15 years. Either way, he said he's a great motivator, talking about Bruce Arians, and said that he's got a great pulse for what's going on in the locker room, and said that, again, it's been a really good fit. And he said, wow, you know, there's another way that people do things in the NFL.
Yeah, Arians is a player's coach. There's no doubt. Players dig him. I think that's always kind of been the case. Even when he was a coordinator, if you talk to guys that played for him, and right. then getting his chance with Arizona. And remember, Bruce got his chance late. Like, he's been in the game for a minute, but he didn't become a head coach until, I think, you know, late 50s maybe. And the point is, I do think that Brady, the part that really stood out is when Michael Strahan asked him about, you know, what he got to prove, and he was like, nothing. I just still like throwing spirals, man.
Yeah, I got a little sickness in me that still wants to throw spirals.
It just it made me laugh because, you know what? He loves it. We talk about this. That's the thing you can't judge.
Right.
You know, 15, 20 years ago when they picked him, did they know he'd have the desire in him to still be wanting to win championships like this? Right. So it is an interesting deal.
And I think,
how many more years do you think he plays? Though?
I think this. I mean, who would limit it now? But I mean, again, as long as the machine is in place, and I think the parallel you draw to this is John Elway's last year in Denver.
Oh yeah,
they beat us. They beat Brett Favre in the Super Bowl, and the last year they even let John Elway take some time off. Bubby Brister got to start some games. Not that they're going to do that in Tampa, but they had everything in place. The entire team, John Lynch, the running game, everything was in place for the Broncos, and now everything is again in place for the Buccaneers.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000. Jump! 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 J-U-M-P. Jump is the word. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Go to 929thegame.com/rules for all the details. All right, we're coming back.
Cool.
Braves finally get one. Finally. But can they get another one? What's going on with the Bravo? It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We got Yeah Man, No Man at 3:40, guys. Also, the Dog Report with Connor Riley from Dog Nation at 4 o'clock. Max Fried today, Mike, wasn't great. Gave up 8 hits, 2 innings, and then he gets hit in the foot and then is removed from the game, which will cause a little bit of a concern. I just saw him on the post game, and he was saying, you know, it looks like everything will be fine. It was precautionary, I guess. But
yeah, Snicker didn't want him, he said, talking to the media, to try to maybe change his mechanics or get affected by it, so they erred on the side of caution.
Okay, so because that's the last thing we need, right? He's like, we're dealing with Soroka coming back, now you got Freed, but good news is he said, he's going to be fine. And the Braves win, guys, 7-6 in the first game of a doubleheader.
But you had to stretch the bullpen out because Freed could only give you those 2 innings.
I know. And so Yanoa is going to start this second game, Hoskier Yanoa. And so we'll see how far he – you're hoping he can pitch like 6 or 7 innings.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, I mean, down the road, Freed only threw, according to Dave O'Brien, 49 pitches, 30 strikes. But unfortunately, you know, not as crisp as we've expected to start the season. But, yeah, Yanoa, okay, this was the reason the way the schedule was going to fall. But, of course, we didn't realize we were going to have double headers. Remember how they talked about when we were going to see Soroka back out there. But this was – I mean, is this ultimately ideal?
No, it's not.
Unless he's really dialed in today.
No, I would love for him to have gone deep in this game, and then, you know, but that's neither here nor there. You find ways. Travis d'Arnaud and Freed both drove in runs. Braves sent 9 men up in the second, which was really the difference, and d'Arnaud with a big hit. But, you know, they hold on. And even in the top or the bottom of the seventh, Mike, the Nationals were threatening, and they were able. Will Smith was able to get out of that.
Yeah, man, they did score a run to make it a 1-run game, but he did get the double play ball. I thought, I mean, if you didn't see the top of the seventh, Chris and I were watching here on TV during the commercial break, our engineer, not my imaginary friend, Chris, but we were watching, and there was you're just waiting for him to blow it open. Blow it open, man. Ozzie goes from first to third on a Freddie single to right. Then they had their, is it Sueros, whoever the pitcher was, Suero? He throws a couple in the dirt, their catcher, and they couldn't handle it. So Ozzie was able to score from there. And then, unfortunately, they brought the infield in and a bang-bang play at the plate. And then Ozuna struck out. So we're kind of waiting for Ozuna to kind of really let it rip, too, a little bit.
He hasn't really done anything. And that's not to say he won't go on for having a great season. But, yeah, he's off to a much slower start.
I still don't like the fact that you and I had to convince a portion of the Braves Nation that we should be bringing this guy back.
I know. The team is better with him, you know, and I think if you get beyond the whole designated hitter thing, that's right. going to happen. But, again, that's not why we lost these first few games.
No, he had a play at the plate that was as good as any outfielder could make against Philadelphia earlier in the series and on the road trip.
So, yeah, he'll get going, but we'll see what happens in the second game of the doubleheader. What'd you say, Chris? I'm sorry.
Let's hear from manager Brian Snicker on Max Fried.
Please, let's do.
But I mean, he seemed okay. I mean, I know it was bothering him. Last thing I wanted to do was, you know, because he knew something like that's going to, when he sits, is going to crank, you know, stiffen up. And I told him we're not going to risk him trying to pitch around something like that and end up hurting himself. So I think he'll be fine. I'd say I haven't talked to the trainers yet.
Mm. Okay. But he said he's okay. Yeah, I mean, but again, you know,
no real concerns.
Playoff game, rub some dirt on it, stay out there, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, if this game was a win, you know, must-win situation, but regardless, I'm trying not to overreact to the slow start, but you know, I mean, again, I don't know.
I mean,
I thought we'd come out of the gate, Mike, maybe take two or three from the Phillies, mm-hmm. and you know, and just I'd be feeling a little bit better. And then today you're struggling. We didn't even talk about yesterday's game and how that went down.
Again, speaking about leaving guys on base, you know, and just blowing the bullpen, let them get back in the game, obviously. I mean, just it was tough. I mean, these are all nip-tuck games. Now, I don't know how much you want to take from the first five games. We told you guys to chill out over the first three. But, I mean, you know, the Nats have got the pitching. You know, if some of the moves the Nats have made and, you know, complimenting their, you know, their roster in the offseason – I mean, work out. Remember, we're not getting their best, not all of their guys. This is a doubleheader where they're down 10 guys on their roster.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this should be on paper one where we're rolling. But now you got Steven Strasburg making his season debut, and we've got a guy that's more of a middle reliever starting.
All right, guys, your thoughts. Feel good about this win because we got one now, and everybody asked the question today, you know, can we get a win? And a lot of guys, after watching the first couple of innings, no. But it's a long game. And so this one went seven. The next one will go seven. We'll see what happens. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Guys hitting us up already, talking about the Braves and the frustration with the start. Did you think we were going to go undefeated?
I don't know. If you maybe these guys who bet the over-under on the win total are already freaking out, you know, because you feel like you're a couple games 91.5 and the Mets are 90.5. But, I mean, if this shows us anything, we all knew, I mean, we did give us some credit. We said back in March that based on the moves teams have made, it's the toughest division in baseball.
Yeah, it is.
Dodgers, Padres, and then us, you know, and what we're doing in the East right now, you could argue.
I don't disagree.
You sound like Fricky there.
Let me ask you.
I've got a cat on a keyboard. He's knocking, trying to break in. Like, I don't know what's going on.
The cat has driven Fricky so mad, he's ready to come back to the studio. That just makes me laugh.
Hey, by the way, I mean, believe me, I would like to be in shorts nursing a cocktail right now back in my house.
By the way, what is the update?
The update is there is no update. There's nothing. I got nothing. You get nothing.
So you have minimal internet?
I've got barely enough internet to run what my wife's doing with her video conferencing. And what I was, we need, not to give you the little inside the radio nerd stuff, but we need a lot of bandwidth to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I got the new link is not giving anybody the bandwidth. I don't want to complain because when people go through a tornado and all the things that have gone down in Noonan and Coweta County, but for the grace of God in our neighborhood, but still, we do need to get things better. That's for sure.
Okay.
But that's why. But I mean, again.
Have they given you a timetable?
No, none. But there's, what am I going to do? Put a giant satellite on the roof of the house and do HughesNet? That's the thing. Where I live, there's no, I got no AT&T. There's no Xfinity.
Because you live way out.
Yes. Right? At the end of the day, I've got an acre of property, I've got an in-ground pool, and I paid half of what you guys up there in North Fulton paid. But the rub is, I got no Wi-Fi.
You hear that, that's, you know, my version of this is, I want to go back to the studio so bad.
Yeah, that cat been getting, from what I've heard, that cat been getting on your nerves the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's throw it outside. See what he does. Let him get out there and mix it up. I'll tell you about the HOA thing in Guy Talk next hour. You warned me. You did warn me about that.
So real quick, we're going to mention this because I don't know if anything's going to happen with this, but it's out there. So for college basketball to have just ended, Arizona fires their coach.
And he's about to get got. Did that investigation ever spin around for him? with the NCAA in Arizona? Everybody but him seemed to get got.
Yes. Right? And I think I want to say, and I'd have to go back, Mike, like self-imposed sanctions Correct. And stuff they did.
One of his assistants was involved.
But he's been there. Sean Miller had been there 12 seasons. Right. And so now Arizona's looking for a coach. And you go, okay, Duke Sabel, what's this have to do with anything? Well, the guy with Arizona ties in town is a guy named Josh Pastner. And Tech fans are asking us, so we're just talking about this, about whether he would, you know, leave Tech. Well, I don't know if he will, but I will tell you this. He would double his salary, and you know you can win a national championship at Arizona. There are a lot of guys that have connections to that program. Damon Stoudemire is at Pacific. Don't laugh. He's a head coach there. You know, Miles Simon is a Lakers assistant. You know, there's a bunch of guys, Luke Walton, who went there.
Right.
So they have their pick of who they may go after, but that job is one of the elite college basketball jobs. And so to right. say Josh Pastner wouldn't consider it, I don't want to lie to you guys and say that's not the case, but we'll see where this
he's got
goes.
Sorry to cut you off. He's got a top 20 recruiting class,
mm-hmm,
does Josh, and we said, can he build off this? Now, if some of these guys don't get any traction, you can go into that sort of clearinghouse, right, for the NBA before you declare?
Yes, you can.
So they might not get traction. I mean, I don't know if these guys will stick around and get their graduate degrees. But anyway, you know, get your BA but or whatever your BS in BS like I did. But no, I don't know what the kids are going to do as the core of his group. But he's got a great recruiting class. Arizona, though, when you get there, is going to be dealing with level one violations they're investigating that involve Sean Miller
yep.
and his team. So, I mean, but you're right. Arizona, it's a sexy program. Lute Olson won big there, and Miller had success there, too.
So we'll see what happens. But just, you know, one of those things that's out there, and you'll probably hear some rumors and whatnot. I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out.
But, hey,
that's out there.
Hubert Davis, Krzyzewski, Meshi's going to leave Duke. I mean, I'm not saying tomorrow, but I mean, you know, if Josh continues to build, if he builds on the success of what could have been a great run, perhaps, you know, if Moses was not jammed up with COVID, they could have gotten past Chicago, Loyola, I don't know. But a couple of guys are hitting us up on the text like, no way Josh is leaving. Stop it. All right, stop yelling at us. We're just saying Arizona is and there's a connection there.
I'm going to tell you, because I know, there is a fondness for that program for him.
Okay.
So
ever been to Tucson? You ever been to Tucson?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Never been.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm not going to tell you he's leaving, but I'm not going to be an idiot and tell you that there's not a fondness for that program.
Hmm.
There is. And so, and he was basically a walk-on on the national championship team. So there is a connection there.
Right.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm going to get to Yeah Man, No Man coming up. Also, as we mentioned, Dogs getting ready for their big spring game. And we're going to ask Colin Riley some questions in regards to what we can expect. I'm hoping we learn a little bit more. Remember, no spring football last year, guys, because of COVID. So we didn't get a chance to see any of these guys. And we thought we might have a sense of going into the season what they might look like. So I am excited about seeing at least a few of the guys that we've been talking about and how much better this offense is going to look. That's coming up in about 30 minutes. Bo Morgan joins us next for Yeah Man, No Man. Just joining us. We were talking about Atlanta United's win last night. Braves win today, first part of a doubleheader. And then the Hawks got another win last night. Hawks are on fire, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to dive back into that. Coming up a little bit later on, I am a believer that this team is exactly who we thought they were, which is a top four team in the Eastern Conference, Mike. And guys, chiming in on our poll question. It's up at Dukes and Bell 929. Go check it out. And we're simply asking you that, guys, because do you believe the Hawks will finish as a top four team or top four seed in the Eastern Conference? And 51% said make the playoffs, but not a top four seed. 100% top four seed, about 40% of the folks have voted. And then the rest of the folks are saying we'll finish higher, 4%. 7% say they won't make the playoffs.
Bunches. You know what? Get out of here with that. Get your headgear turned around. We're positive people today.
Positivity.
Right.
All right, man.
Speaking of Mr. Positivity, Squid Billy.
Yeah, man. No, man. That's right. All right, Bo, what's going on today, man?
Not a lot. I had some work done here at the house. It is now very cool in Casa de Squid, and
nice.
It's very nice. And I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. The Masters starts, well, tomorrow technically, but
right.
Today is the par 3 tournament. We'll have our friend from the Golf Channel, Damon Hack, on tomorrow.
I thought they canceled that. I thought there was no par 3 this year.
Oh, well, there's something other. The Masters is on TV. I don't know.
Okay. No, I mean, I know they're going to give you coverage from Golf Channel and all that, but I know
that ESPN's got it, actually, right now. They've had all-day coverage, so that's what I saw, so I just assumed it was a par three because I used to watch that. I loved it.
It's the best, but, yeah, I was told. Sources close to me, in other words, I looked it up online, said that they were going to do that this year. Also, limited patrons this year, Carl.
Yeah. Again, next year, I keep saying this, I hope we can get back to all the things. I might go out there this weekend. I got an invitation.
Hold on. Time out. What's this all about?
What do you mean, what's this all about? What's
the juice, man? Somebody in the golf game? A media contact? What are we talking about here?
Just a friend who was like, yeah, we're going out. Because it's limited. It's limited, obviously. And so, it's one of those things. Call me an idiot. I want to experience the Masters. If I'm going to go, like we used to, Mike.
Right.
For the few times that I've been, I want to experience it as we know it can be. And I'm not saying it takes anything away from the tournament because guys still have to play and the tournament's going to be great now. Watch just like everybody else. But I'm talking about just from a fan's perspective. When the gallery is on point, Mike, and the energy, and you feel that, there's nothing like it, man.
It's always cool when you're there. Because I got a good buddy, Davis, who grew up in Augusta. So I got a chance to go to a bunch of them. Haven't been in about 10 years now. So Davis, no, not for nothing. Stay moving here.
Here we go.
But he lives in Texas, Carl. He lives in Houston now, flying for United. He's not helping me. But I'd love to get out to the Masters again. We sit at 16 all the time. You can see the approach on 15. Obviously, you watch them hit on 16, see the tee shot at 7. You can see the green on 6. Everybody out there in sundresses and the girls, too. And it's just a great vibe. It's just so much fun. And you're right, Carl. It really is nothing like it. I didn't get it at first until I moved to Georgia. And once I got there, I wanted to go like a drug. You can't imagine not being able to get there.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's exclusive. We know that. I mean, as far as being able to go and being a part of it, because again, even the secondary market this year, Mike, is very tough.
Right.
So
yeah, it's kind of an elite event, and so when you just kind of say, "Oh, I might go," you kind of sound like an elitist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious where this is coming from.
Well,
right. Exactly.
No, I've got plans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are no plans. When the Masters comes,
come on,
you go.
You got an invite. Yeah, you got to go.
But this is what happens when you have plans. You guys know this. You make plans, and then somebody always comes along. Hey, bro, I got Super Bowl tickets. What? I mean, it never fails that when you have something else going on, that something happens like this. So yeah, that's why I say that casually, because I haven't committed to it. But I don't know.
I'm so mad at you right now. Because you know what happened to me last week? My neighbor sends me a text. Says, "What are you doing next Wednesday and Thursday?" And I said, "I don't know. What's going on?" And he sent me a GIF of the Masters, the green jacket.
Ooh.
And so I said, "Dude, I'll call in sick. Let me know right now." And he goes, "Oh no, I just want you to watch my dog." I'm not even. I'm barely speaking to him.
Wow, that's a buzzkill.
I'm barely. And he left today. Oh. And he's going with a buddy of mine and his that we play golf with, and they took their wives.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Does she even like golf?
She likes to go drink and be outside.
Fair enough. Okay.
But again, if you are heading out to the Masters on your way there or back, you can always swing by a Coney Brewing and pick up cases of Dukes and Bell Heyman Ale, including our new watermelon lime. Right there, off the Lake of Coney exit, just go north to Greensboro.
Let's get to a couple of Masters questions real quick, because I actually had these teed up. That's why we got into this. And then Mr. Elitist Carl Dukes said, "I might go."
No, you did drop that like, "Oh, by the way." I'm like, no, "Oh, by the way, we all want this. What's this about?" Can't leave us hanging.
I mean, there's nothing to it. It's one of those things where, like with anything, it takes away from what the event is. Like, two years ago when Tiger won.
Right.
Man, when he was coming up 18.
Oh, electric. Just like anybody who's lucky enough to be at East Lake, but times 10 when you're at the Masters, right?
Yeah.
An event like any other.
This guy.
Classic. By the way, Chris had to find it. That's how good our engineer is. Chris found it. That's our old Mark James, legendary broadcaster.
Let me tell you something, and that's all I'm going to say, and we're going to move on, because I don't want to get stuck talking about this guy for the rest of my 5 minutes of the segment. The smug face on this human being's the smug face he made when he said that, and I'm like, dude, you just botched that, like an epic botch. Because I was producing him when he did that.
Hit it again.
Yeah. An event like any other.
You can hear the smugness. All right. I don't want to talk about the network anchor anymore.
It's a tradition unlike any other for those who are not following at home.
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Right.
Yeah, man, yeah, man. No man. Are yeah, they man. Overrated?
No, man. Yeah, man, they're delicious. Yeah, man, I love them. No, man, they're not overrated. Mike, go ahead.
They're good. I like. No, I got nothing against it. And that's one of the things for anybody who's been lucky enough. Once you spend $6 zillion in the pro shop getting all your gear for the Masters, it's nice to have those $2 sandwiches.
Bryson DeChambeau, who is one of the favorites, if you look at the Vegas Insider odds, which I've checked out when I made my Masters pool, is one of the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It has been known that at the Masters and the practice rounds, he had 142 miles per hour in his club speed swing. All right. Wow. Back surgery in 2 years for Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, man, no man.
You know, Carl, to add that kind of bulk, know what I mean? Now, again, I'm not an orthopedist. I'll ask my doctor. Shoot me. But, no, I wonder, Carl, when you add that kind of torque, you know, onto your body, it's definitely you're putting a little more strain on your frame.
When you try to tee off and you get PO'd and you try to kill the ball, don't you hurt your back, right?
Oh, dude.
Like when you missed a couple and you're like, screw it, I'm going to kill this one. And then you try to
screw yourself into the ground, right?
Yeah. Don't you hurt your back? I can only imagine what DeChambeau is feeling. Yes. Yeah, man, back surgery for DeChambeau. And I'm not wishing that upon him.
Yeah.
But look at what Tiger did, man, with his swing and how it had an effect
on
him.
But again, he jacked his knees up and then later on the back. But again, but as long as Bryson doesn't start jumping out of planes like he's a Navy SEAL like Tiger did, maybe his back will hold up.
An event like any other.
Well,
Rory's 14-1, by the way. John Rahm, Rory is 14-1. John Rahm is 12-1. I love John. I like to see that big meathead get it done. I like that guy.
Well, look, here's the thing. One thing, Rory has been terrible late in these tournaments, and one of the things he calls the calls for it is he said he saw what DeChambeau did at the Open and U.S. Open, and he was like, oh, I gotta hit farther.
Right.
So he sped his swing up.
Whoops.
Now he's in people's pools.
Not the time to do that, Carl, the week before the Masters, right?
No, he actually did it. He said that a few weeks ago.
Right.
So it's been one of the problems. But I think he said it to the players is when he said it. All right.
Spieth is 10-1. Justin Thomas is 10-1. And, of course, you said it to start, Squid. Dustin Johnson, 9-1.
Who is your pick?
Carl?
Chris, get involved, too.
To win it? I am gonna go with the hot hand right now, and I'm gonna say that that Jordan Spieth is gonna come back and win this thing. Coming off the win last week at Valero,
Chris.
You know what? These guys do. Give me some Justin Thomas.
Later. Ah, you snaked me on Justin Thomas, you turd. All right, I'll go with Big John Rahm. Hope he doesn't have a meltdown on the back
Thomas
nine.
Thomas is so consistent, man. He's so
I know.
Good.
I mean, he gets the job done. And again, he broke through. He had his little controversy in Hawaii, and then he got his win. Yeah, but the one that nobody wants to see win, Brooks Reed, is a 28-1. Morikawa, 30-1. I love Finau.
Morikawa's 30-1?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. If you were going to do.
Okay, now I'd take that.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar with gambling, the longer the odds. You know, the better the win. So if you put, like, just for argument's sake, if Carl and I were in Las Vegas right now.
If we were.
And I had $1,000, I would put it on Morikawa, and then I would win 30 grand.
And you know what? I'd take that bet. Seriously.
Me too.
Morikawa's, he's playing great.
Kepka's kind of fallen off. He's 25-1.
I just don't think DJ can repeat, man.
Right. And that's then Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood's 30-1, but of course, like, Lee's goose in Top Gun. He's going to always win a lot of money, but he's never going to win the big one. You know what I mean?
Here's why, and I'm just going to say this because I know guys are like, Justin Johns is great. He is. Guys, last year he had 4 bogeys over 4 days. Think about that.
Right.
There are only 3 other guys that have ever done that, and they had 5. It was Jack, Crenshaw, and Phil.
Right.
And I think Inelman had it as well. I think he was another, maybe 4 guys.
When his short game is on, he's unstoppable.
You're telling me he's going to go through 4 days of the Masters in April and have 4 or 5 bogeys?
Hey, what's the over-under on DeChambeau talking to a rules official?
Oh,
I'll take that bet, too.
I'd go 5.5. What do you think, Squid? You want to take that over?
Oh, I would take the over.
Right.
He does it like twice a round minimum. I would go with DJ. I actually have Jordan Spieth, to Carl's point, as my first pick off the board in my Masters pool. Well, guys, we got to get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow for another edition. Chris, hit the music.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bill. If you wonder why the DMX is playing, because he's still in a vegetative state. So Bo's been playing that all week and in honor of DMX. What were you going
to
say, Mike?
I know. Cooch, I know we have a lot of Georgia Tech guys out there. Cooch is 80-1, and Phil Mickelnuts is 100-1 right now.
Yeah, Phil ain't winning this.
Oh, you never know.
Phil's not winning. Phil hasn't. You know what? I think Phil's made a lot of money, and Phil's just having fun now.
All right. Getting older. There you go.
All right. Coming up, Dog Report. Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Why are we talking to each other like this? You know, I think Phil is not going
to
win.
Bubba Watson is at 50-1. Adam Scott is at 66-1.
We'll go and talk some dogs next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.